That bummer Bob lost his electoral race.
Sorry, B1 Bob.
How many more you got there, Rob?
Two more, Mad Mike and Bomber Don.
All right, baby.
It's been said that it takes a village. Idiot. Well, we've got him. The Don and Mike Show.
We'll be calling him in a second. This is the one right here that will catapult us to another fantastic program.
People may wonder why Don and Mike staffers are always in such good spirits. Well, we've got Miller Lite.
Life is good. We've got Miller Lite. Life is good.
Don and Mike.
All right, get out. And thank you, Robert. And thank you for listening. Coast to coast and nationwide via Vestfood Fun Entertainment, darling. Don Geronimo with Mike O'Mara. That's why we call it the Cotton Picking Don and Mike Show.
Felt the need to sing there. Just couldn't help myself.
And yes, today we will be joined in studio by this man.
Don't let them think of you as old. And I mean your children, your
Jack
grandchildren,
Palance,
who love to come to you and say, "Grandpa, do you want to sit down?" or something like that. And I say, "Get away or I'll knock you over, you little..."
Great Jack Palance.
All those well-meaning friends who want to share their own physical decline with you, tell them to go to hell.
Jack Palance, who has written a book of love poetry.
Yeah, and, you know, the legendary tough guy. And that's him testifying before Congress. Imagine what he's going to be like on this show.
And here's the funniest thing. So, they always say to me, do you want a copy of the book? Do you want a copy? Do you want a picture? I always say no, but Jack Palance?
Sure.
I said, yeah.
Sure.
I want a copy of the book.
Right.
So he autographed it to Don. Love. Jack Palance.
There you go.
Love.
It's a book of love poems.
Because he's written a book of love poems.
Yeah. There he is. Yes. I'm really excited about having him on the show.
Yeah. Oh, and there's our play friend right over there. Almost forgot. Sorry, Mr. Buzz Burbank. Hello, Buzz.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi. Hi, and welcome to the program, everybody. Yes, besides the fact that we have Jack Palance on the show today, we'll be giving away a trip to BA to Los Angeles sometime in the next 4 hours.
That's going
to
be a lot of fun.
We have news about our Thanksgiving show. We've put all the details together. We'll tell you what we'll be doing and how you could maybe be involved, the lucky family, as it were.
Nudity is in the air.
This thing in Richmond, Virginia won't go away.
Yep.
Even though we're no longer on the radio in Richmond, Virginia, they're still writing about us in the newspapers. So we've got to, at some point today, make a call to the newspaper guy to set him straight.
Yes, clear the air.
The Major Bill Smith calling the Butterball Turkey Hotline.
Excellent.
Yeah. Got to get to that today. But you know what is a first out of the chute today? First thing. Yesterday, we're taking phone calls. Last hour of the show. About 6:15. Pick up a phone line. We go, hello. And a guy made a disjointed attempt at a sentence. Something about Kathy Lee Gifford.
Then he used a nasty word right out of the chute.
Yeah. Used, I think, the F word.
Yeah.
And so we deleted him out, and we padded, and we waited until the delay caught back up, and we, for whatever reason, put the guy back on the air again.
It was a day where we had to delay a couple of folks because of potty mouths, and he was the last straw, and we felt as though we had to give him a lecture. Yeah. And when he showed up again on the phone line, then the lecture really began.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, so, no, what happened was we didn't hang up on him.
Right.
He stayed on the phone, and we talked to him some more, and then he cussed again.
Yeah.
Then we had to delete him out again.
And we slowly realized as we were talking with this guy that he was a supreme idiot.
Oh, right. I mean, he's a grade A moron. God love him. He's gonna be the official village idiot now of the show.
Yeah, it actually came out better than it started.
We talked to him, and at one point I accuse him of living in a trailer park because he's got like white trash written all over him, and he screams out, "No." He lives in a house that costs $500,000 a year.
That's right. He said, "I live in a $500,000 house."
So then we started asking him about it. I say, "What's your mortgage?" And he said, "Well, it's not a mortgage, it's a lease."
He said, "Well, that's not owning a house. If you're leasing it, you're more like renting it." He said he disagreed with that.
He didn't know that. Right. Then we asked him what he did for a living, and he said he worked at a
airport.
At an airport.
And he was also an artist.
Yes, and he also said that
he did Grateful Dead paintings.
He had also dropped out of high school.
Yeah.
He had fathered two children.
Yeah, we asked him what he paid a month for that $500,000 house. He said $450.
So
we were interested in where he found that bargain.
So we get done with him. He cusses a third time. Now, we've had to delete him out three times because the guy can't complete a sentence, and he wasn't calling to bust our chops.
No.
He was calling to in a roundabout way somehow make fun of Kathy Mee Gifford,
right,
who apparently has come through the little a tiny town airport that he works in.
And we were getting angrier and angrier at him, and he was getting a little angry with us, and we were just about to give him the big kiss and just say, you know, see you later, idiot. When all of a sudden...
As a matter of fact, we did. What happened was we did give him the kiss. We went away to a break.
Right.
We come back from the break. And I'm like a fly to the a moth to the flame. I can't stay away. I go to the calls. Second call we take, it's him. He's calling back.
He wants to be our friend. Even with, and we at this point, we are giving him the idiot stuff with both barrels. I mean, it is relentless, as you know it can be. And
I think yesterday I said, he said, "What are you guys doing to me?" And I said, "We're piling on."
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what we were doing. We were just unabashed on this guy, and he was taking it. And to his credit, we would get done telling him what an absolute prince idiot he is, and he'd say, "I love the show."
He loves the show, and he was interested in being a regular, and then by the end of the conversation with him, we decided that he would be our official village idiot. Mm-hmm.
So, from time to time, we're going to call the official village idiot of the show. As it turns out today, he's a hot commodity. He's the last thing we ended with yesterday. We're going to call him now and find out what's new in the life of the village idiot.
That's right. That's his name. That's going to be his only name.
He was supposed to keep a journal, a log of everything he did between the time we talked to him yesterday and the time.
Well, I don't know if he was able to do that, Buzz, because, you know, he is the village idiot.
Of course.
So we'll see what happens.
All right, call him the village idiot. He lives in the great state of Delaware. All right, calling Phil.
Phil the idiot.
I'm calling at the number he requested we call him at. He requested we don't call him at work.
Now, after all that, he said he was going to be at home waiting for our call.
Today, 3 o'clock.
Right.
It's today. It's 3 o'clock. It's 3:09.
You know, he thinks a little slower than most people. Perhaps he gave this some thought.
Well, that's why we're letting the phone ring extra long here.
Hello, you've reached
855.
Mel and Phil can't come to the phone right now, but if you leave your name, number, and a brief message after the beep, we'll get back with you just as soon as we can. Thank you for calling. Bye-bye.
Hello? Hey, you idiot.
Hey, we want to talk to the village idiot.
Hey, come on, village idiot. It's your time to be on the Don and Mike show.
You said you were going to take our call today right after 3 o'clock Eastern time.
Hey, Rob, did you talk to the village idiot yesterday? V.I. Warshawski? Village idiot Warshawski? That's the movie that officially ruined Kathleen Turner's career, incidentally.
That's when she started speaking weird, right after that, and then she became...
Yes. I just tell you, Larry, I am very, very excited.
I heard her narrating something on one of, like, the Discovery Channel the other night, and it was just going,
then they very quietly go around with the thing. It's so sad. I'm Kathleen Turner, and I don't know how to speak.
Did you talk to the village idiot yesterday after the show?
I spoke to him yesterday after the show, and he was very excited. Remember, his wife with Demon Offspring number 3 was having a sonogram today. But that was at, like, 120.
So hold on. I didn't know that he had planted his third demon seed. I know that he had said that at the age of 20. And that was another fact we disputed, since he had, like, the voice of Dennis the Menace.
Yeah, we didn't believe that he was 20, and he has now fathered his third child.
That's the understanding I have, is that he was had a...
Pour a cork in that thing, son.
God.
For goodness sakes.
He never does it for fun. That's what he says. But he said he should be back at his house by 3.
Wow. Never does it for fun.
No, I just threw that in.
Just to continue the name.
There you are.
The name idiot.
The village idiot. Yeah. Well, there he is, the village idiot. All right, well, he's not with us. Why am I surprised?
Yeah.
That a guy who we gave the moniker Village Idiot to is not there at the scheduled time for him to appear on the show.
No, that would be far too responsible and intelligent for him to be sitting there at the appointed time. Perhaps he got 3 o'clock Eastern time confused with maybe midnight.
No, you know what will happen? What will happen is we get the great Mr. Jack Palance in here. For the first time, we ever get a real honest-to-goodness celebrity. Mm-hmm. And it'll be at that moment, I guarantee, that we hear from our friend the Village Idiot.
You can't count the number of Oscar winners we've had in here. This is a big deal.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike, information for you. This is 401 guy.
Is this the village idiot guy?
No. This is the 401 guy. I got information for you.
Well, now, try to open your mouth and maybe take the glue out of your mouth.
Is this the guy, I think I know who this is. Is this the guy who works for the phone company?
No.
That sends us the funny names, like the guys with the names like Harry Butt and stuff like that?
No way, man, no. Okay, information for you. Today, Mark Jackson got married today.
I have some information for you.
You are doing a fantastic
job. Michael Jackson got married today.
Now, what, am I walking into a joke here?
No, seriously.
He got married today.
He was supposed to have, anyway.
No, seriously, right. It'll be on TV tonight on VH1 at 10 o'clock.
And how are we getting a scoop from you?
Oh, I work at the MTV music video office in New York City.
You do?
Yeah.
You're calling us from New York City?
No, I'm in Virginia right now.
What are you doing in Virginia?
Visiting my mom.
Then you mean MTV called you at home?
No.
Did I call all employees at home?
No. I called my office earlier today, and they told me it's going to be on TV tonight, so I'm going to watch it tonight, so I forgot to let you know.
What do you do at MTV? You have an office.
No, I'm a receptionist.
Oh, you're a receptionist?
Yeah.
Because you speak so clearly.
I watched the Jivis thing the other day on VH1. It was a thing about Michael Jackson,
mm-hmm.
where they said, we went out on the streets to find out from Michael's fans what they most want to know about him. And it's something that had obviously been set up because Michael Jackson had announced that he had knocked this girl up.
Yeah.
That's the story in the tabloids, that he and this woman they're pregnant.
Right. Prove it.
Right.
They say, here's what people in Burbank thought. And they have people who obviously are not Michael Jackson fans. And they look into the camera. You can tell it's prearranged. They go, I would like to know, Michael, are you going to have any children? And there were three or four of them spliced together like that.
Right.
And then they come back to the slinky guy on VH1 and goes, well, our VH1's listeners' questions have been answered. Because, yes, the purple,
the gloved one.
The gloved one. The prince is the purple one.
Right.
The gloved one is indeed going to be a father.
Uh-huh. And once again, I don't trust it at all. I don't trust it at all. I think she got pregnant with somebody else, and they're saying it's Michael's baby.
And now here's the totally outdated Billie Jean.
Well, Mike.
What was that, sir?
My same feelings as well, Mike. I think it was all set up.
Well, you're an expert from MTV, so I will take your idea and run with it.
Hello. Don and Mike show.
Oh, somebody's having a lot of fun. Hey, I didn't expect to get right on the air, but hi, guys.
Hi.
Am I on?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Who were you talking about having fun?
Oh, well, no. You were having fun when I called in.
We have fun every day on this program.
I know.
On this program.
Try to stop us from having fun, but we have fun anyway.
We steamroll ahead.
We could never do it. We could never stop you. And that's why you're so enjoyable.
Thank you.
Yeah. Listen, I was calling to try to find out the number for the hypnotist that you guys had on a couple of weeks
ago. Tom Silver.
The hypnotist. All right, here it is. It's 1-800.
Yeah.
2-7-5-4-2-7-7.
4-2-7-7.
All right. Thank you.
Sounds like a great guy.
All right.
Keep up the good work, guys. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You going to give a dry run on that number?
Kids, don't call that number, please.
Okay. That's 1-800-ASK.
Mm-hmm.
4 A-S-S.
There you go. Now, he thinks he's calling the hypnotist. This is the number he's really calling.
I give this number out to people. I swear to God I do. If someone wants my home number,
Welcome to 1-800-ASK-4-ASS. The only party line you need for good butt action.
There you go. You can give out an 800 number now, because people have 800 right. numbers. They have such a thing.
Yeah. Sure.
You give it out. You say, here's my number, toll free. Call me anytime you want. It's on me, my man.
There
Hello,
you go.
Don and Mike show.
My good man.
Yeah, have you guys heard Letterman's going to retire because you smashed him so bad?
Yes, I've heard that.
Oh, man, it's a tragedy.
Hello, Don and Mike show. What am I doing answering these phones? I'm waiting on the odd chance that the Village Idiot's going to call in.
We had
now.
Such a good time yesterday, you wanted to just dive in right out of the shoe.
This is it. We've got a break here because we have other stuff we have to talk about. If the Village Idiot's not ready, we've got to talk about our Thanksgiving show. Hello? This has some Village Idiot potential, whoever's on the line here.
Oh, hello. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I hung up. I wasn't getting through. Hello?
Well, you've gotten through.
Oh, okay.
hello?
Yeah, hey. I was wondering if you guys had known about Anthony Robbins being on later with, what's his name, Richard Jenny.
You know, they ask us why we have phone screeners. You know, calls like this. Absolutely.
That fabulous Tony Robbins, Richard Jenny show that's traveling across the country.
Yeah. I have no idea what anybody's talking about here.
Right.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You don't?
I swear to God I don't know what you're talking about.
Why don't you turn that radio down? You'll be able to think a little more clearly.
All righty.
I don't think so. I bet you a dollar he doesn't think any clearer with the radio turned down.
I only got $1 left. I don't want to lose it.
Anthony Robbins was on
Anthony Robbins, I know him. He's the guy from ER, right?
What?
Is that the guy from ER?
No, I thought that
Are you talking about Tony Robbins?
Yeah, who do you think he was talking about?
What's that?
Oh, you're talking about the guru guy.
Your man.
Yeah.
Anthony Robbins. Tony, how soon they forget the
it's
man.
Anthony Edwards from ER.
I think it's obvious that your brainwashing has been completely washed out of your head now. You no longer bow to that man. The man who's... Didn't his tapes, like, do
Who?
Anything?
Who?
Who is he?
He's dead to me, Mike.
There you go. Good.
Tony who?
Tony who?
I swear to God, I thought you were talking about the guy from ER. My apologies.
Oh, okay.
All right, now what was the point? Now maybe I'll understand the call. What about Anthony Robbins?
He was talking about with Richard Jenny on the later show, and he was saying something about how he had helped, you know, a lot of people and everything, and he was talking about how he had helped a pimp. with his prostitutes and everything, and
right, I mentioned that he said that at the big Wahoo thing that I went to, where they had you stand up on a chair and do the Macarena dance.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Well, I must not have caught that one then, but yeah, I thought I was kind of funny, and I thought I'd just mention it to you.
The amazing thing out of this call is that Richard Jenny was actually hosting a network show.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's very sad.
Why not just give me a paper cut and pour the lemon juice in right now, then? Ouch. Ouch. Double ouch. All right, thank you for the call. My apologies. I was playing the role of the village idiot there.
Oh, okay.
Not knowing who my guru is. Okay, thank you.
All right.
I don't think it was the village idiot, Don. I think you have successfully blocked Tony Robbins. You blocked him from your mind.
That's right. I'm back now with my main man, Hank Kingsley. Whatever Hank Kingsley says is okay with me.
Kingsley!
And I can't wait until next week's episode of Larry Sanders.
Yeah.
Because it looks like it will be much funnier than last night's much hyped episode of Larry Sanders was.
We are in agreement there. I was mildly, but nonetheless a little disappointed.
It was all right.
Yeah, it was funny. I mean, it's funnier than most stuff on TV, but... Not what a premiere should be. Not that show has high standards.
I got 4 stars.
It got 4 stars in everything. Everybody was raving about it.
It wasn't that good.
No.
It wasn't that funny.
I was waiting for it to be funny. We were all waiting for it to be super funny.
That's why I had to shoot out the TV last night.
Elvis.
That's right.
Were you in the jungle room when you did that last night?
Yes, I was. I was shooting at that monkey again.
Hey, Don doesn't look like the episode. Watch out!
That's the best sound effect at the end when you hear that little clink of whatever
the cartridge or whatever it is.
I know so little about guns. Whatever that. Not the boom, boom, boom. This part right here. Right here. That little clink, clink, clink.
Yeah, cartridge falling on the floor.
That's a good sound.
Shell casing.
Mm-hmm. Good sound. Listen to me. Good sound. Good sound. I'm the biggest pussy in the world.
Good
somebody,
sound.
Somebody gets on a water pistol, I turn it and I run the other way.
The sound of gunfire. Good sound.
We got to break. Good man, Mike. You know, I had somebody say that to me the other day. I don't know. That's something that's strictly a guy thing. And what it was somebody said something to me like, boy, can you believe that OJ? And I said, that son of a bitch should be in jail for the rest of his life. The guy says, good man. Is that something that one guy says? Good man.
Good man.
Right on, yeah.
Usually accompanied by a high five.
Yeah.
Good sound.
Good man. not to be confused with Alan Goodman.
Yes, good man. The great good man.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Two grown men who can't get enough of each other.
WJFN.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara. WJFK.
$300 for a water pump?
But Hank!
But I still smell gas.
Hank!
Yes, I do realize that the water pump is not connected to the fuel system. But I just had the mistaken impression that you had a nose. Tally-ho, face.
Hank! Hank!
Haven't you ever heard of knocking before you enter?
I'm sorry.
All right, calm down.
Okay.
Now, just calm down.
Hey!
All right, now. Are you calm?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Now, what is it?
Your car's on fire.
Damn it! Damn it! What were you going to tell me?
Have you heard the Don and Mike Show?
See, I mean, it wasn't all bad.
Better on radio than I reacted to it on TV.
Yeah, me too. I was like angry last night.
Really?
Because the Larry Sanders Show wasn't any good.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
You put a lot of time into it. You know, you wait for it and it comes on, and then when it's kind of it was funny. It just wasn't as funny as it can be.
Hmm.
Don't you think?
It was bad.
It was great.
You're just a happier person than I am, Buzz.
Ah. Does that mean I'm unhappy, too?
Oh, yeah, you're very unhappy, Mike. Hello?
Hi, Boo Boo.
Now, here's the most unhappy woman in the world right now. Listen,
I know I'm not. I'm
happy? What, did something happen I don't know about?
No. Weren't we both unhappy, though, last night because that Larry Sanders wasn't funnier?
Oh, well, we're disappointed.
Well, yeah, then the Geronimos agree with the O'Maras. That was a...
not good.
Mediocre episode. Not mediocre. I don't want to go that far, but it just wasn't as good as it could be.
It got all that hype.
And Tom Shales loved it so much, and normally we agree with him. But
yes.
No, and it was good.
You know what I love about you, honey? Can I just interrupt you? You know what I love about you?
What?
15 years ago, you couldn't have picked a program out of the television guide. I swear to God, you couldn't. And look at now. Look at now. Look at you now. Look at you now. You know. You know now how important television is. And you're like me. When a show's not good, you're disappointed.
You're absolutely wrong, Sugar Bear. I am just a fraction of the devotion that you had. But when I was a little girl in my little warped childhood too, I loved situation comedies. I remember ones like I would wait for the new season. I mean, it's sad, not as sad as you. Compared to you, I'm Masterpiece Theater. But I would wait.
Maybe.
I remember being so thrilled about that new one with the Smothers Brothers, where one was an angel and one was the regular brother. I just lived for the situation comedies.
Well, I never knew that.
Man, see, you really like the good one.
I never found that out till right now. I never knew that. The whole time that I've known you, especially when I first met you, when we first started dating and everything, you just had like that little black and white TV, and your whole rap going was that television didn't mean that much to you.
Well, as an adult, thank God I've grown out of that. So.
No. Now you've grown back into it, though. You were upset last night. You know, and you know what? Yesterday, you want to know how pathetic our life is? Listen to this.
What?
Yesterday morning, you know what my wife says to me? I'm going to take my son to school. As I'm walking out the door, she says, well, I love you. I go, I love you. She goes, Larry Sanders on tonight. Mm-hmm. I said, yeah.
Sure.
Love you. Love you, too. Yes. Television show on tonight.
Well, you know what?
That's how pathetic our life is.
That's me trying to make conversation with you. That's like when I call my dad. Even I talk about sports, even though I don't care that much because I like to.
So you weren't excited like Don was about Larry Sanders?
Oh yes, she was. She's lowballing it.
I was looking forward to because I just finished reading that Tom Shales article in the Post, and I was looking forward to it. But I know you think it's heresy because we've been having problems with the dish, and you called me a couple of minutes ago, and you say, has it been working? And I said,
well,
I haven't been watching this afternoon. Like,
listen, who got that situation resolved, huh? When you need a real man to take care of a job, mm-hmm. you send a real man. Last night, right towards the end of Larry Sanders,
yes.
is when our satellite dish did that thing where the pictures start freezing, mm-hmm. and then it said, searching for signal, and then it said, searching for program guide. Mm-hmm. I went to sleep last night. I had a very restless night of sleep last night,
sure.
because I knew that the dish was on the fritz.
Oh, really? your link to the world, your lifeline, your umbilical cord.
However, listen to this, though.
But
this is weird.
Kind.
This is weird because we get the satellite signal at our house, and I split it two ways, meaning
right.
that mm-hmm. I got one signal that goes to my room,
yes.
to my haven.
The cave.
Yeah, the bat cave. And then the other signal goes to the rest of the house. Mm-hmm. The only part of the satellite that was screwed up was the part going to the rest of the house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I still had my room. I was still able to go in and watch my 500 channels.
It wasn't an emergency. No,
it was an emergency because I knew that in the other room, I didn't have the availability. It really cuts down on the laziness factor.
Did you sleep on the couch last night?
Well, we were maybe going to have to move a bed into a little
It cuts down on your laziness factor when you know that if you want to get a glass of water and you want to get up and go from my my room to the kitchen to get the water,
sure.
that in the television near the kitchen, the satellite dish is out, so I will miss a moment of the dialogue.
You have to make that walk without television. There can't be televisions all along the route because, you know, in every room we have a television.
Isn't that
yes,
when
Frida
brings the hot plate into the room and starts preparing the meals in the cave? That's what happens?
The other thing would be just to run the hose in there so you could have your glass of water.
What was that movie? There was a movie. Does anybody remember that awful movie with John Ritter where he got sucked into the TV?
Yeah.
When he was in a game show.
Relatively recent movie.
When he was in a game show inside this movie, inside his television, one of the prizes they gave away was like a big Lazy Boy recliner that was not only a recliner, but it had a refrigerator and it was also a toilet all at the same time.
Oh,
and that like got a big laugh. And I said, I would use that.
Yep.
That would be a worthwhile product. Well, anyway, listen, you were excited about that show coming on last night, and I know that you were also disappointed that it wasn't that good.
Well, I want to tell you, too, I was impressed the way you handled that problem. because we've had many, many other little problems, regular homeowner problems with our house, like need a plumber, need an electrician, need whatever, and you would not lift a finger. But I told you, well, they won't come out till next Thursday to fix the satellite dish.
No, I got it fixed today.
That phone. Give me that number. Hello, this is Don Geronimo. You never use your radio name when you call for this.
Quiet on that now. I did, though.
Did you really?
Sure. Yeah, I did.
Well, it's TV.
I called. I said, hey, it's me. Listen, something's wrong with my dish. 45 minutes later.
They put the red light on top of their car.
But it was fixed. All right, not that good. That show, not that good.
No.
All right, and what do we look forward to tonight?
Friends.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, no, I look forward to Friends.
Friends was
funnier than Seinfeld last week.
What do we look forward to, though, as a couple?
Having a family dinner together with our son in a loving atmosphere, saying grace over our meal.
Oh, of course, diagnosis murder.
No, we look forward to Jerry Seinfeld.
I know.
Which could be the second big letdown. See, this is the problem when you have shows, when you base your whole emotional structure on television shows. That's like blow after blow. It's first Larry Sanders is not quite good enough. Now tonight, if Jerry Seinfeld is not quite good enough.
Do you share an ER with your wife after Seinfeld's over?
We do not. No. We occasionally will watch ER, but we always go to sleep before it's over.
We are not a drama family.
Let me tell you something. That ER, a major controversy over the show ER, because when they left ER last week, there was a baby in critical condition, and everybody, they went to credits, and you didn't know what the status of this infant was going to be, right. And you kind of were sitting there going, it ruined it. Really, when you talk about TV controlling a lot, my wife and I are sitting there, we're watching this, and I'm like, well, what happens? They're not going to. There wasn't a to be continued. There was nothing. Well, apparently, they were flooded in certain jurisdictions, so flooded with calls about this that they actually made it a news story where they would come on and say, we'd like to say for all of you that have been calling that next week the show will continue with the storyline about the baby on ER. So that's good news that that's going to continue today. You guys ought to check that out. It's a good. You don't like dramas, though, huh?
We have only the Happy House.
Well, you know, with me, if I see something on TV, like if I see a particularly scary movie before I go to sleep,
right.
Disturbing.
That's what I keep with me. That's why my wife kids me a lot. You know what really puts me to sleep at night and makes me have happy dreams with REM sleep? It's Mary Tyler Moore.
Nickelodeon.
Yeah. That show comes on at 10 o'clock on Nick at Night.
Right.
And I am like a baby with a lullaby. You ask my wife. Mm-hmm. I get in bed. I'm wide awake. I'm hyper. I turn off the light and I hear that, love is all around, no need to. And I'm like, good night. Good night, nurse.
You don't think it's the boredom?
I don't want to watch shows where babies are hurt and people are sick. It makes me unhappy.
No, it's not the boredom. It's the fact that I know what I'm getting in my subconscious as I go to sleep is something that I love.
No, and I don't like to be stressed. I have enough stress in my room.
Well, you know, I'll agree with you there, because last week when they left you hanging on this thing, it really it ruined everybody's night. Everybody was watching it. You were sitting there going, well, what's going to happen to the whole family? Now we have to go to bed and get up again tomorrow morning.
The only problem is sometimes I wake up and Ed Asner's making love to me. I'm having a dream and, like, Ed Asner is,
a lot of back hair to hold on to.
He's pitching and I'm catching.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Boy.
Angry.
Hair.
The very angry Ed Asner.
Hair all over.
Angry. Angry, red, and irritated Ed Asner. Well, I love you. What are you doing? What are you doing today? What are you doing right now?
I'm paying bills.
All right, that's good.
Well, somebody's got to do it.
That's good.
It's a good thing.
That's the good system we got.
We have a good deal. You make the money, I spend it.
All right, I love you.
And I'm keeping up my end better than you are your end, by the way.
What end?
The part.
The spending money. Oh, all right. Okay, get off the phone. I got to go. I love you.
Goodbye.
Okay, goodbye.
There she goes.
Ouch. Okay, there she goes.
Ouch. Did you hurt yourself?
No, I hate that when she says that to me all the time. I'm keeping up my end. You're not keeping up your end. Like what?
What does she mean by that?
Like what? Like I got to go get a fourth job now?
You mean she's not happy with the living you're providing her with?
She wants more.
She wants more?
Yeah.
Wow.
She makes no bones about the fact she wants more.
Man.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Why do you think I work all these extra jobs? Because I got to. Because I got her at home. I say, things are going good for us. Huh? Well, not good enough, buddy boy.
Not one word for you.
Yes.
Amway.
we have a fax here. What is this fax? This is from one of our radio stations. From WPEK.
Where's PEK?
In Greenville, South Carolina.
Yes, wonderful Greenville.
98.1 FM. It says, Dear Don and Mike, What is this? It's from the sales staff. Oh, letter from the sales staff.
Ah.
Please, not again.
Oh, I always get a little edgy.
It says, no, apparently it's nice. It says, we, the experienced sales staff at WPEK 98.1 in Greenville, South Carolina, love you, Don and Mike.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah. Serving the upstate with 100,000 watts of Don and Mike.
Wow.
We loved your call to Iceland. We love the show.
The password is professional.
See?
Mm-hmm.
Ain't that nice?
Yeah. All right, all the sales guys and gals down at WPEK, way to go!
Well, it's the Carolinas, Mike. I'm sure it's all guys. You know. They still run things the right way down at the Carolinas. All the men are in the management positions, and the girls, they all got the beehive hairdos. They get coffee.
Yeah.
They get coffee, and they get donuts.
No matter what the facts is, we will always manage to endear ourselves to someone down there.
And as long as we're on that subject, let me go to this one.
Yes.
Okay? The station in Richmond that took us off the air last week,
mm-hmm.
They're still putting spin on about us.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, they just can't go to being the total non-professionals that they are. They can't seem to get over it.
You know, and I realize that this is really preaching to the choir, since the people of Richmond, Virginia can't hear us now.
Sure.
But I just want anybody that will listen to know what the true state of affairs is. You heard what happened. This is a station that scored a 0.00 in the most recent Arbitron ratings. Mm-hmm. Station did not show.
Mm-hmm.
They signed on for our show. They had the show on for a couple of weeks. They got a little antsy.
Yeah, they screwed around with it a lot, too, while they had it. We were preempted a whole bunch of times.
The salespeople got upset because we wouldn't have a dog and pony show with them in the middle of our show when they came up here for a day for a seminar.
Right.
So we got mad. We canceled. And then they said, you know, it's almost like when you're breaking up with somebody and you say, I break up with you.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, well, you can't break up with me.
Sure.
Because I'm breaking up with you.
I've quit radio jobs where, you've done the same.
Mm-hmm.
Where you quit and then they fire you because they don't want, you know, they want to do it. That's the way it works.
So we thought that this was going to be a dead subject. When I guess it was Monday, we read an editorial that was in the Richmond newspaper
right.
about us. And then today, I get faxed an article from Jerry Lindquist's column in the Richmond Times-Dispatch. After 2 weeks of the Don and Mike show, WRVH is back to sports talk during afternoon drive time and beyond. But don't look for a return of Steve Molesky's Sports Huddle.
Was that the name of the show?
Yeah, the sports huddle.
Can't understand why that didn't win.
Station general manager Carl McNeil says there's a misconception out there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is what's so great. I said on our show last week
right.
that the station had a 0.0 in the ratings.
Right.
That's why that they brought our show in.
Right.
We don't make a secret of that. Most of the stations that we get on are fixer upper stations.
Absolutely, you know, stations having trouble with what it has on, and they bring us in there and we turn things around.
So apparently on the streets they're having a tough time because mm-hmm. now the general manager has to go to the guy at the newspaper column and he gets him to write this. Station general manager Carl McNeil says there's a misconception out there. The huddle wasn't dropped for low ratings to make way for the allegedly humorous non-sports gab fest out of Washington. It was a matter of money. Too much going out, not enough coming in. Don and Mike was a freebie. Now, just let me stop. I'm going to call the guy at the newspaper and tell him this.
Right there, when he says it's a freebie, that tells you what he thinks of his inventory.
Because what we do on our show, and that's exactly the point.
Mm-hmm.
What we do on our show is something in the radio business known as barter.
Yes.
Meaning, yes, you get our show and you don't have to pay us a dime.
Yeah, the vast majority of syndicated programs are done on a barter system where
right.
all we ask our affiliates is to give us the time for our network to run commercials.
Right. And then our network sells commercials.
That's it.
So we make money. That's not a foreign concept to anybody. This is something that was started by Casey Kasem when he started American Top 40 25 years ago. He gave it away to every radio station, and every radio station thought, what an idiot Casey Kasem is. Meanwhile, he was going out to Trident and to Clearasil and saying, I'm going to put your commercial on 500 stations.
That's why, you know, this program generates a tremendous amount of revenue, and it does.
Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing. When somebody like the guy in Richmond says, the Don and Mike show is free. What do you think Westwood One is? Even though we bust their chops all the time, do you think it's just some expensive play toy?
Yeah, we could send him the documentation to show just how free it was. Show him the hundreds of thousands of dollars that this show makes in syndication each year.
You know, they don't have us on Westwood One just to pamper our massive egos.
No.
You know, if we didn't have stations and if our show was not contributing revenue,
sure,
I got news for you. It's a dog-eat-dog world. We'd be out on our ass.
They're not doing this just to be nice to us.
So anyway, so this is what the guy says to the guy. He doesn't explain to the guy that, no, he doesn't pay for the show, but he's giving up commercials.
Yeah.
He also doesn't mention to the guy that he's going to be running our commercials on his station for the next 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
That in a roundabout way, he's going to continue to pay us.
Right.
For 6 months. Although some might say if a station's got no ratings, you're playing commercials to nobody who's hearing them, so it's kind of a moot
point.
But
that's the way, that is the way it works. I mean, that's the agreement for anybody. You know, once and for all those people that don't seem to get it, it's pretty simple. There are a lot of shows that are syndicated that work this way. You run the show, you play our commercials. That's just the way it works.
It's like everything else. You know, I don't think it's a crazy concept. We believe in ourselves, and we believe in the show. When we were originally syndicated, they said we can charge stations, I don't know, you know, $10,000 a year to take up your show. Or you guys could have X amount of every dollar that's made from commercials.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of an incentive plan.
The way it works for us, this is why we're always trying to get new affiliates. The more stations we have, the better it is for us. That's the way we get our money.
And the more ratings we get, the more commercials we sell. And then, you know, and then it like, it's that hair commercial with all the little heads that get bigger and bigger.
So you know, this guy, and you know, this is something this guy knows. He's trying to put spin on it to make it sound like it's a freebie. And that, you know, that doesn't surprise me because these people have lied all the way along.
But then here's the next paragraph. McNeil said he knew after 2 days of Don and Mike that it had been a bad idea. I called their boss, he said. This is not what I was led to believe it was. I want out of the contract. Cussing on the air, blue humor might be okay in D.C., but it's not good for us.
Oh, jeez.
Now, I want to say this, too. One of two things happened. Either this guy's totally in the CYA mode,
mm-hmm.
or he's such an inept manager
right.
that he approved a show without listening to it.
Yeah, there are only two options there.
It's either that he's trying to save some face on this and he knows that our voices can't be heard in Richmond, mm-hmm. so he can say whatever he wants, or he's such a complete moron that he would put a show on it. Listen, if there's one thing that people from Westwood One tell the new stations when they sign up for our show is, listen, this is not your average radio show.
That is made so clear. And if there's one thing our network does, it's that they let affiliates, prospective affiliates, know exactly what they're getting because we want to avoid a problem like this. Not only do they tell them the kind of show that they're going to get, they send them a tape that demonstrates rather aptly the type of show we do. And then before we go on the air, in most cases, they listen to the satellite feed, sometimes a month or two before they put us on the air. They know what they're getting.
This guy knew what he was getting.
He knew exactly. He is a liar.
So then here's what happens. Then he gets a bunch of calls and faxes. And here's the last paragraph of the story. The number of calls and faxes he received, not complaining about Don and Mike, but saying they wanted sports back on, frankly surprised me, McNeil said. Bottom line, the listener spoke, we listened. You know, bottom line, this guy is so full of bull crap, it's coming out his ears.
Bottom line, we had a fit when we got that letter from his sales department, which apparently he approved, and we said, go scratch. That's the bottom line. That's the way it worked.
Please.
I don't
so I'm not going to waste my time on the manager.
No, that would be futile.
Yeah.
And as you know, I did try to handle this off the air. Yes, hello, this is Don and Mike. We're doing our radio show right now. We'd like to speak to Mr. Jerry Lindquist, please.
My moment.
Now, we got to wind this up because I see Jack Palance is making his way in.
Academy Award winner, coming in.
And then we got to tell you about our plans for Thanksgiving.
All right.
Our big Thanksgiving broadcast. Let's just set this guy straight. Just give him a couple of facts.
Your call is being answered by Alex.
Jerry Lindquist.
Oh, man. No, you got to talk to him live.
To leave a message, wait, tone.
And
record at the tone.
All right, we'll do it very fast. Jerry Lindquist, Don Geronimo, and Mike O'Meara.
Hi, Jerry. How are you?
Listen, we read your article today in the Richmond Times-Dispatch, and a few facts you should know. The Huddle, whatever the hell that is, was dropped for low ratings. And if you were a journalist, you would research, you would look up the summer Arbitron ratings for Richmond, Virginia.
Also, this guy knew what our show was about. This general manager at this station knew exactly what he was getting. They all know what they're getting. He was not telling you the truth there. He is not telling you the truth in most of this article.
And third, our show, just for whatever reason, is not I'm only saying this because you're embarrassing me here. It's not a freebie.
You understand how barter works. You pick up the show, you run our commercials. That is not a freebie. That is another falsehood that we wanted to clear up. We really hope that you give us a fair shake here. Even though we're not on in Richmond anymore, we'd like the people that listen to this show to know what the story is.
And he does write here that the general manager says that cussing on the air and blue humor might be okay in Washington. It's not good for us. Our show is very well received. We are the highest rated show at Westwood One Entertainment. And if you would like to call our network and find out about that, go ahead. You'll find out that, yes, while we do have a show that perhaps is a bit juvenile at times, we do have a pretty large following of fans. We do turn those fans into ratings.
We hope you can set the record straight, and that's why we wanted to call you and let you know about some of these facts. This general manager is not necessarily telling the whole story.
You're being manipulated. I don't know if you have ever seen Waylon Flowers and Madam.
Yes, that's a fine old program, of course, no longer on the air.
But in this case, you're Madam. Or let me use a more current analogy. You're Miss Piggy, and this guy is Frank Oz, putting his hand where his hand should not be to control you.
Please, remove his hand and write some sort of retraction. But
now, don't bring Jack Palance in right this second.
He's coming right in. I don't think he's going
to
wait.
Hello? Finish recording.
I guess that's it.
All right, listen, that's it. We have to go. We have Jack Palance, who's being brought into our studio now. So we hope that you right this wrong, because we know that you, Jerry Lindquist, are a great journalist. Even though you're in Richmond.
Thank you for listening to us. And if you have any further questions, please contact us here in Washington, D.C.
Maximum length recorded.
All right.
Thank you for leaving your message.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Well, we took care of that. Now, we'll go to our break. We'll come back. We'll meet Jack Palance.
This is very exciting.
The Academy Award winner who is here with his book of love poetry.
Hope he reads some of it.
Oh, we'll get him to. Right after this. Stay right there.
The station with less BS. WJFK.
Hey, boys, how are you?
Hey, how are you?
Hey, we're both starving. When do we eat, huh?
You have worn out your welcome at Bushwood, sir.
Is that so? Who made you pope of this dump, huh?
Bushwood? A dump? Well, I'll guarantee you'll never be a member here.
Member? Are you kidding? You think I'd join this crummy snobatorium? But this whole place sucks. That's right, it sucks. Only reason I'm here is maybe I'll buy it.
Buy Bushwood?
It is gigantic, with no more odor than a hot biscuit. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, thank you, Paul Turner, my big bald friend. And thank you all for listening. Jack Palance, as it turns out, is having a refreshment. He's back in the conference room.
Excellent.
And we'll bring him out in just a moment. Let me proudly announce our Thanksgiving gala.
Oh boy, I can't wait to hear about this.
We're going to be giving away a Thanksgiving dinner. Now, we've done this before, but we've done the Thanksgiving on the Mayflower.
Mm-hmm.
The tired, done so many times, radio promotion where you actually get like a Mayflower moving van.
Right. Yes.
And we had the people inside. One year we did it where somebody got dinner and Rob A. dressed up like a pilgrim and somebody else dressed up like an Indian.
It was wonderful. We've had some marvelous Thanksgiving shows.
Just don't know how we could possibly top that unless we offer this to one of our lucky families. A Thanksgiving dinner to beat the band. Or whatever they say. To beat the band.
Sure.
I'm talking about turkeys. I'm talking about trimmings.
All the fixins. All right.
Booze.
Actual booze?
Wow. Who doesn't like booze with Thanksgiving?
Oh, I know my family does.
And to top it all off, naked women prancing around. We're giving away Thanksgiving at a strip club.
Hallelujah.
Now, we have only a few requirements of you. First, we ask, if you would like to win Don and Mike's Thanksgiving at a strip club,
mm-hmm.
you fax us an entry. We'd like a letter knowing why you and your family would like to have Thanksgiving at JP's Nightclub.
Downtown Washington, D.C.
Two floors of exotic dancers. Now, we are doing this right. You get a private room.
Right.
And the spread, if you'll pardon the pun, the food spread, will be absolutely first rate.
Top shelf with the turkey and the mashed potatoes.
All the trimmings.
Catered turnips. Everything. Yes, everything you want. Mm-hmm. Sweet potatoes. Those
any tomatoes?
Lots of tomatoes.
Onions.
There will be ladies who will dance just for you while you're eating.
Wonderful.
There will be ladies who will dance then for everybody in the place when you open the door after you have your meal and after
yes.
you have your after-dinner drink.
Sure.
When you want to go down, when you want to be with everybody else.
Sure.
The best part of this is that this happens on the day before Thanksgiving.
I can't think of a nicer treat.
This is on a Wednesday, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, 2 weeks from yesterday. We will have Nick Joe there as our representative.
He will be wearing the pilgrim suit?
Yes, the suit's being handed down now from Rob A. to Nick Joe.
After a few minor alterations, I think it'll fit him just fine.
The entire broadcast will be here live on our show. Here are the only requirements that we have of you. If you would like to have Thanksgiving at JP's nightclub.
Yes.
All that we ask, first, please, nobody under the age of 21.
No, this is for adults only. Obviously, you know why.
Second, you got to have at least some women there. It's not a stag party.
Right.
It's got to be real Thanksgiving. What it's going to be is a traditional Thanksgiving setting that just happens to be inside of a club where naked women are swinging on poles.
I will say going in that we will weigh heavily the letters that include grandma.
Now, that's exactly where we're going. If, in fact, you get grandma and grandpa to come, if they're still with us.
Yep.
Or if one of them is gone, God rest their souls, we'll throw in an additional $200.
There you go.
Okay?
Sure.
Not only will we give you Thanksgiving dinner with all the trimmings and a day at JP's, and it all happens on the day before Thanksgiving during our show.
It's really, I mean, when you think holidays, you think an exotic dancer.
If somehow you are able to get a grandma or grandpa to go.
Sure.
You get the extra $200 cash bonus.
But no, you know, no one under the age of 21.
Now, we need your letters, and we need letters that tell us why your family wants Thanksgiving at JP's nightclub.
Because we're already looking forward to reading them.
This is going to be a contest that we start and begin very quickly. As soon as we get the first letter that catches our eye and we call and we interview the prospective family.
Right.
That's it. The contest will be over.
You're the big winner. So you want to compose that letter rapidly and get it out to us in a fax.
Now, the bigger the family, the better.
Sure.
This is a huge strip club.
Yeah.
They will accommodate up to 10 people.
Of course.
Meaning that we could have one giant family with 10 people,
mm-hmm.
or we could have two.
We'll have to be, I'll say this going in, somewhat open-minded.
Right.
And you're going to
have to be very open-minded.
You're going to have to be the kind of family that likes doing things spontaneously, and you're a fun-loving group.
You're going to have to be like the sandwiches served at JP's. You're going to have to be open-faced. You're going to have an open mind about this.
Sure. You don't mind getting a little Windex in your food?
the food? Well, of course, the Windex from when the girls are cleaning up the window and such from the area during the shift change.
Sure, you can't fault those girls for having a clean mirror, Buzz.
However, the actual eating, Mike, will be done in a private room.
I am so excited about this.
And the good people at JP's nightclub, two floors of exotic dancers in Washington, D.C., have come up with the whole thing. They're going to have 10 girls dancing this day. It's being catered by a reputable caterer.
Sure.
With food. They called today and they said, listen, we don't promote drinking and driving, so if you have a designated driver, we'll even throw in some cocktails, some beverages, some libations.
That's wonderful.
Now, it's open to all affiliates.
Good.
Across America, but you have to get yourself here.
Yeah, that's right. You have to do it.
Meaning that if you live down in Tampa and you want to make the 10-hour drive up to Washington, D.C. with your family for this, well, why not? Maybe it'll be worth it to you.
Or you can coordinate with your whole family, you know, and if anybody wants to pop for the airfare, you know, sure, fly up. I mean, this is something where it might be worth flying into Washington.
Now, what we're thinking is, ideally, you'll get a guy and his wife, who'll maybe bring the mom and the dad,
mm-hmm.
and maybe the brother and the sister and the... Sure. And a cousin or two. And
cousins. I think we're going to, you know, I think any way you slice it, we're going to have a few cousins here.
For a few moments, perhaps you'll be able to put the troubles of the everyday world behind you.
Sure.
Be able to have a nice piece of rare roast beef or enjoy some nice white meat turkey.
Some lovely breast meat.
And have your favorite libation. and then enjoy some all-American adult entertainment.
Including pumpkin pie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Lots of pie.
Oh, yeah. It wouldn't be a Thanksgiving at a strip joint without some pie.
Mm-hmm. And the whole thing, as I mentioned, broadcast live here on the show on the day before Thanksgiving.
Of course, who else would we send down there but Nick Joe, fresh off his stellar appearance on the David Letterman show. And now he's going to host you for Thanksgiving.
Right. This is the most off-the-wall thing we've ever done for Thanksgiving, and frankly, we're not really sure if there is such a family of misfits out there, so we want to find out right now.
I'm confident, Don. I know that somebody's out there that wants to do this.
Listen, I know that there are guys out there who can get 10 guys together for a party, but you've got to have women, you've got to have wives or girlfriends, and again, if you get the mom, if you get your grandma, if you get the grandparents, we'll give you an extra $200 in cash.
That's it.
If you get your grandparents to go to this thing. And please, no kids, okay?
Kids are not allowed. Obviously, you know the reason why. 21 or older. That's the way we do it.
Send us the facts now to Thanksgiving at JP's Nightclub. And fax it to us here at this address. 1-800-636-6410.
Another fabulous Don and Mike production.
1-800-636-6410. We have just changed the roll of paper in the fax machine.
Good.
Awaiting the heavy onslaught of the many, many entries from the families, and we will pick one family, interview that family, and give them Thanksgiving at JP's Nightclub.
It's just another reason why 1996 is the year of the nude.
And it's the day before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So it doesn't screw with your actual Turkey Day plans.
Right. Sure. I mean, on the real Thanksgiving, you can have a real Thanksgiving dinner. But this is going to be the real stuff.
Not that this won't be a real one.
Yeah. It's just be a different experience.
Okay. So please include, Rob wants me to say, please include your home and work phone numbers on your faxes at 1-800-636-6410.
Excellent.
And this is courtesy of JP's Nightclub, two floors of exotic dancers on Wisconsin Avenue in Upper Northwest Washington, D.C.
Bon appetit.
So get those faxes in. Now we've got to do a break and hurry up so we can get Mr. Jack Palance in here to talk about his love poetry. That's next.
What the hell do you think you're doing here? You're out of the business for good, forever.
Will you just listen a minute?
Shut up! You shut your mouth once and for all.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara. Bet you can't eat just one.
Here's a channel check right now. Don and Mike show on Westwood One Entertainment. Thank you for listening in Jacksonville, North Carolina on the Big 910. WLAS. San Diego, always entertaining. AM 1170 Talk, KCBQ. And thanks for listening in Baltimore on WJFK, the home of the Ravens. Okay, enough waiting around.
Yeah, we've been waiting for the Academy Award winner.
Bring him in.
Bring in Mr. Palance.
We stopped yelling at the guy from the Richmond newspaper because we thought that Mr. Palance was ready. Then he wanted a beverage.
We're waiting for him right now, and I gather, you know, that he does things on his own time, and now we're waiting.
Here I see Rob holding his jacket.
And here he comes.
Hey!
Let's welcome him. Give him a round of applause. Jack Palance is making his way into the studio.
Yeah, buddy.
All right. This is an honor.
Jack Palance.
Hey, how you doing?
How are you?
I like that. I like shaking hands with him.
Welcome.
I love Jack Palance.
Good to see you. Thanks for coming on the show,
It's like
Jack.
The most dignified guest we've ever had on our show.
We're very honored to have you here.
I swear to God.
Oh, my God. And I, and I'm not wearing my necktie.
You look good, though. You look good. You have the suit on.
Like that.
You look very sharp.
I just took the necktie off.
You did.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. I bet I bet a lot of guys walk up to you and go, Jack Palance. Excuse my French here. I bet they walk up and go, you old son of a bitch, you. You're just one of those guys. You're a guy's guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're not mad that I said that, are you?
No.
Okay.
As long as they don't take a shot at me, I'm all right.
You look like you could handle that. Well, you could handle that, too. You have experience handling that type of thing with your background, right? I mean, you were a boxer at one time, weren't you?
Oh, God. You've been working on it.
Yeah, I was doing a little shadow boxing.
You better throw him out a little further away from me.
I look like a Rockette doing that.
Listen, how do you go from being Jack Palance, tough guy, movie star, you know, Academy Award winner, to writing these flowery love poems, of which I wrote, and they are, I want to tell you something, sir, they're dreamy. Your poems, you really wrote all these poems?
Yeah. You say they're dreamy, they didn't put you to sleep, did they?
No, I meant dreamy like a high school girl would say something is dreamy.
High school girl?
You know, that's how I feel. I feel like a high school girl in love when I read these poems.
Yeah.
Now, have you written these your entire career? Have you? Is this something you've been doing all your life, where you would find a moment and jot down a little piece of poetry?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
All my life.
And they're real
just
poems.
Just about, really. What?
They're not like, you know, there once was a girl from Nantucket to, you know, they're real poems.
Oh, God. Now, what rhymes with Nantucket? You know? Oh, get out of that one.
Now, what about the pictures? Did you, are these the...
yeah, I did those.
That's your art, too?
Yeah.
He's got paintings inside the book.
It's very that's very nice. You're a man of many talents.
Who knew that Jack Palance was such a Renaissance man?
Yeah.
Now, were you hiding this all these years, or is this something that's
I found out about 2 weeks ago and decided I'd come to Washington and do your show. And by God, that was going to make
you. You know, the fact that you're on the show, that Jack Palance is on this show, and the three of us are sitting here talking about love poems, to me is just a little bit surreal. It's a little strange.
Who did you write your first love poem for?
The very first?
Yeah, the very first love poem you ever wrote.
Yeah, I think it was my second grade teacher. She had a... I wrote about her fanny. She had a lot of it. So I had to write about that.
That's not in the book, is it?
No.
Oh, man.
Second grade teacher's fanny?
I do still have that poem, I think.
Do you write about many fannies in the book, Mr. Palance?
Well, I knew a couple of women named Fanny. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember your first poem about fannies?
A fanny here, a fanny there, a fanny, fanny everywhere. Something like that.
That's lovely. Let me see if I can jot that one down.
Yeah.
Fanny here, fanny there.
Fanny, everywhere.
Everywhere.
Something you and I would still be able to recite on. We could memorize that one on this program.
I'll tell you a good one I like. Milk, milk, lemonade, around the corner fudge is made.
Are you familiar with that one?
No. God, I don't know. I don't know how the hell that got away from me.
All right. Now the book here, and I love the fact that it's one of these very thin books, yet it like costs over $20. That's a nice scam. This is going to be a wonderful Christmas gift. That's why it's out now in time for the holidays, right? A book of love for the holidays.
Yeah.
Since you wrote a book of love poems, if there was one poem in that entire book where you could say, this is the poem for somebody who's in trouble with their girlfriend or with their wife, or they really want to make amends and they want to tell their special someone that they love them, what would be? Would you have a specific poem for that that you would use in any circumstance for that?
Out of this book?
Out of this book.
You mean if liquor doesn't work?
Yes, if you can't get her boozed up, absolutely.
And you know what? Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead and answer the question.
No.
I've noticed that you're one of those guys, you're not like Lionel Richie. When he writes something, it's, oh, what a feeling, when you're dancing on the ceiling, like a rhyming dictionary. I've noticed that your words don't rhyme. You're one of those poetry guys. Huh?
Haiku.
Yes.
Are there any haiku in there? I don't even know what a haiku is.
It was in Wayne's World.
Yeah, it was in Wayne's World. That's where I know what a haiku is.
I do some of the other occasionally, but...
Listen to this one. Let me just read you.
It's easier this way.
Do you mind if I read part of one of your poems?
Oh, I wish you would.
Mr. Palance?
I'd love to hear.
Always I have loved walking through tall trees, hunting mushrooms, reb tops, pinkies, kozars.
Those types of mushrooms?
Yeah.
The sure edibles. The others were left to rot and waste their sweetness on forest pathways. You see, there's not one rhyme here.
Very nice.
The forest, murmuring, weeping, sobbing, laughing. The forest of love. Lying amongst the trees and listening, a stillness so acute lovers forget to breathe. Will I find you there? Please come. I want to build a cabin over there, on that little island that divides the creek in two. The trees grow fast and tall, and the water rushing merrily all around sings the melody of forest love. Now, let me just stop this music for a second.
I think that was awfully nice the way you wrote
it. Well, thank you. Yeah.
Now, that was beautiful, Don. I thought you did a fine job.
I wouldn't want to follow you.
Really. Now, were you drunk when you were writing these, or is this a serious side you got?
I don't remember writing them, so I must have been plastered.
It goes on. The Forest of Love, that's the name of this book, and it's full of all kinds of stuff like that.
You know, I asked you before, do you have a favorite? I mean, do you have a particular one that really is near and dear to your heart, the one that's in that book that you just had to put in there?
Well, when you keep saying one, this is actually just one poem.
Oh, really?
One
just long. An ongoing?
Yeah.
Oh, it's like a big run-on sentence, this book.
Sure.
Huh? Oh, how about this one?
It was just like my mouth began to, you know, and I couldn't stop.
The first time, it didn't work, did it? Dinner and wine, Chianti wine, and checkered tablecloths. You look so good in white. You know that, don't you?
I love the fact that you're looking at me when you're reading this.
Well, it's either I look at you or I look at him.
He'd rather look at you, obviously.
It was white. Well, no, it's just...
I don't want to come between you guys.
Understand, I don't want to... And there's not room for a third man in this relationship, Jack. I'm sorry. It was white that first time, and so I remember. I remember looking at you, some faraway madness. But where? That I couldn't remember. Burning, burning always, insanities.
Is he doing these poems justice, Jack?
And wild, feverish fires out of control.
He likes it. He likes the way you're reading his poetry.
Yeah, well, I'm a professional broadcaster, Mike.
God, he's been doing this for years.
Alone somewhere, always alone, always burning. On the cross, perhaps.
Ooh. Wow. That's heavy duty there.
Yeah. Now, what was your motivation for this? Was this a woman you were out with where you had some Chianti wine where she was wearing white?
You mean being on the cross?
No. The earlier part. Dinner and wine, Chianti wine, and checkered tablecloths. You look good in white.
You know, if I had never gotten her, I could understand it, trying to ply her with Chianti wine. Mm-hmm.
So this is after.
That's about as cheap as you can go.
So that was at, so this would be after the afterglow of after you had her?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Well, the glow comes after the wine, of course.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Mm. What about Billy Crystal? Well, what's he like? Is he a big pain in the ass to work for when you're doing a movie with him?
How did you know?
You know, we've watched you on the Academy Awards and on some of the talk shows, and you do occasionally give Billy Crystal a little ribbing there, and we were always hoping that it was genuine, that it was really true, and that you really didn't like him. That's what we were hoping and praying for. We'll
please say it, so, Mr.
Please
Balance.
Say that it's absolutely
please
true.
Please say it.
You want me to say what?
It would make us so happy.
Work
if,
anymore.
If you just say that it. Billy Crystal was a real hard guy to work with. Hard. Real pain in the ass.
Well, Billy may have been a pain in the butt, yeah, but I don't know about hard to work with.
Oh, really?
He was all right.
So you got along with him fairly well?
How can a man like Billy Crystal direct a man like Jack Palance? How could you take orders from him on the set?
He didn't direct either of those films.
Oh, he didn't?
No.
Oh, who was the director? You don't take direction from anybody. It doesn't matter, does it, really?
No, but Billy certainly wasn't the director. The first, there were two different directors. The first one I liked enormously. The second one I didn't like too much. The first guy was an American. He has directed a number of good films, you know.
Yeah, you've worked with a lot of directors.
Yeah, that's why I can't remember this particular name.
Hard to remember
name.
All of them, sure.
The second guy, I think Billy dug out of England somewhere, and probably he shouldn't have.
So you weren't real happy with the, you know, obviously the second film with Billy Crystal, not as big a hit as the first one. You weren't real happy with the way that turned out?
No, and I didn't like the choice of directors. They chose an Englishman to direct a film that is almost a Western.
Sure. What does a British guy know about the Western?
You get this, man. Yeah, speaks sure. with a
thick accent. The hell are they doing that for?
Why do you want Lady Di directing your movie about Westerns, huh? Or I guess Chuck, Prince Charles.
You want a guy like John Ford kind of guy, right?
Well, I don't want to bring him back.
Mm-hmm. Did you work with him? Did you work with John Ford?
No, never
no,
did.
Never
no,
did?
No. John's been gone a long, long time, you know. Mm-hmm.
So like when a director on a movie tells you, the great Jack Palance, what to do, I imagine that maybe you're polite because you're a professional and you say, yeah, okay, but you really do whatever you want, whatever you think is right for the scene?
Pretty much.
That's what I like hearing.
Yeah, but, I don't know. I think you've got to be very careful about that. When you talk about John Ford, I thought that man was a fantastic director, and he did a film with...
huge Western director, for anybody that doesn't know. A big director, yeah. Lots of Westerns and some other films.
He did a film with Victor McLaughlin. Do you remember Victor McLaughlin?
No, I don't.
Oh, he was a fan. He was a hell of an actor. He was more of a fighter than an actor, but he did win an Academy Award for that film. And in something or other. Oh, God. They asked me to do it a long time later, and I wouldn't do it. Not following that guy.
Shane,
not following
that was you were in Shane, right? You played the villain in...
Yeah, that was me. I was the lady, remember?
One of the first of your tough guy roles.
Would you ever do a movie with Pauly Shore?
Who?
Exactly.
That answers that question
I'm sorry.
Do you know who Pauly Shore is?
No, I don't.
You ever seen the movie Encino Man?
No.
That's good. You're lucky you haven't seen that.
How about In the Army Now? He's one of those guys, for a guy like you, how long you been in the movie business, sir?
Since 49.
So you've been in a long time. Yeah, 50 years in the
Almost
movie business.
Years.
Must kill you. You've been busting your butt all those years. You finally got the recognition you deserve. And then here's a punk like Pauly Shore, who gets movie after movie after movie.
He does.
I know it eats me up.
Pauly Shore?
Pauly Shore. You never heard of him before.
No, I'm sorry.
You don't want to. Don't worry about it. You don't want to hear about Pauly Shore.
Who's your favorite modern actor of current times, of the modern genre of actor? Who do you enjoy?
Well, and then there was... I don't go to films.
You don't go to movies?
No.
Really?
Do you watch television?
Not very often.
Really?
A good football game, perhaps.
Oh, now here we go. Now we'll bond. Who's
occasionally.
Your, who's your favorite football team?
Well, they lost a couple of games. Pittsburgh.
Steelers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Steelers fan.
Who's your favorite player on the Steelers?
Well, the guy who was my favorite player was the quarterback who went to the Jets.
Oh, Neil O'Donnell?
Yeah.
He's a girly man. They're doing great without him. They're doing great with Mike Tomczak.
No, he's supposed to come back. He's supposed to come back this week, though. Anyway, I did like him an awful lot. The Steelers, I think I just like everybody.
Do you still follow the fight game? Do you still follow boxing at all?
Yeah.
Did you watch the recent fight between Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield?
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think of that fight?
God, I would think I would wish that it never happened to either one of them again.
Really? Why is that?
Oh, come on. That's a beating. Good God.
You mean as far as with the beating that Mike Tyson took? Well, he also threw some good punches.
Yeah, the other guy took a pretty fair beating, too. But that kind of a beating. And a couple of years ago, there was in an issue of Life magazine, they had photographs of a fighter's brain.
Mm-hmm.
My God, it looked like scrambled eggs.
Well, I guess you would see Muhammad Ali and you would figure that that's a... How long did you box for?
A couple of years.
A couple of years? What weight class did you box in?
Heavy.
You were a heavyweight?
Yeah.
You were a tall guy. You were a heavyweight.
You ever heard of Greg Kinnear?
No. God, you ask me all these delightful names that I've never heard of.
These are all the... I'm just asking you all the hot up-and-coming pretty boys in
who
movies.
Who is Greg Kinnear?
Exactly. Again, exactly my point, sir. But he's a guy who's got a movie out there right now.
And, of course, I'm fascinated with the fighting aspect of it, because I know how much I enjoy the fight game. Did you ever fight against any of the legendary heavyweights of the day? Who did you fight? Who's the biggest name you fought against?
Well, actually... as far as being an actual fight is concerned, mm-hmm. I don't think there was anybody.
No,
did
no
I
big
get
names.
In the ring in training with guys? Yeah.
Oh, really? Who'd you train with?
Well, there was a guy named Billy Kahn.
Billy Kahn.
Not too many people are going to remember Billy Kahn. He's back that far.
Mm-hmm.
Who's your favorite Baldwin boy?
six of them.
Now, are there six boys or are there
I
four?
I don't know. Four, six.
The Baldwin boys. We've had contact with the Baldwin family recently. That's why we... who's the Baldwin that's supposed to be calling our show?
Billy.
Billy Baldwin.
If there could be anybody in show business who you could kill legally with no fear of retribution, who would it be?
Legitimate question.
Really?
Sure.
Anybody in show business you could kill right now?
That's still living.
I really can't answer that because I don't go to films, so I don't know who the hell I hate.
Would Billy Crystal be in the top five? Made you laugh, now, didn't
you? You got this thing, huh?
Yeah, we always kind of was. You know, we were hoping that maybe you really hated Billy Crystal, you know, with all the stuff you said, and we were really hoping.
I occasionally bump into Billy, and what the hell am I going to do? Hey, apologize, Billy, I didn't really mean it. And then.
All right, what about O.J.? O.J., guilty or innocent, do you think?
Guilty or innocent?
Yes, O.J.
I think it's a good question. Guilty or innocent?
Yes. What's your opinion, sir? My opinion is he's guilty.
Are you going to answer the question?
There's a strong case against him.
Strong case against him.
Mm. So you think he's guilty?
Kind of a diplomatic. You're somewhat diplomatic. I didn't expect that.
I thought you'd be a little ballsier. I don't mean that. Please don't like beat me up or anything. But I thought that you'd be more more, you know, like, Billy Crystal, little punk. You know, OJ, guilty. Yeah. I fought Jack Dempsey in 1958.
I see a peaceful man, a man, a very, very mellow, peaceful kind of guy here. And, you know, some of the things that we've seen, you don't always seem like that peaceful guy. After you... You know, I'm just asking, and I'm not trying to pick a fight or anything here, but during your illustrious career, isn't there anybody that you really just, or maybe just went ahead and took a swing at? Maybe during the shooting of a film or somebody you really just had a, had a run-in with that we know somebody famous that you wanted to take a poke at, you know.
God, I wish I could help you guys. I know what you're looking for.
You've hit somebody. See, the thing is, you're just not telling us, because I know you've hit Pelinic.
You know, like, he could be just selling the love poem book. That's it, you know, and if he comes in here and he talks about all the guys he's decked, he's not going to be able to sell the love poem book.
Oh, God. You know, there are an awful lot of women who love to be decked anyway, so.
Our first controversial statement from Mr. Fallon. Yeah.
A long moment of love, a brief encounter with eternity, and we talked. Was it the first time? I love you, and I love you too. The first time.
The first time, I don't think, you don't have to be a literary expert to figure that out, what you were talking about there.
Hasty qualifications, half-truths, fear of nakedness. Who will throw the first stone and why? Hesitations, explanations, reservations, trepidations. But nothing we could say could change this night of love. Nothing.
It's clear to me now, Don, the reason we're not getting what we're looking for here is that Mr. Palance is a lover, not a fighter. Would that be true, Jack? Would that be true that
I love so much the way that he's reading these things.
He's doing a great job, isn't he?
I'm beginning to feel like I'm falling in love. I've got to be careful here. What the hell to do?
I'm not a homo, Jeff. I enjoy your movies and everything, but I don't go that way.
All right, we'll both go our hetero ways.
yes, we shall. Yeah. What would you say to anybody? Final question. Why should somebody buy this book, your book of poetry? What joy will it bring to us? No fair looking at the publicist now for the answer.
Oh,
why should someone buy your book, Mr. Palance?
Well, it's because they may have $20 that they want to put in the bank, and this is kind of a bank. It's buying books is, I think it's marvelous to buy books and to collect them and eventually have to throw them the hell away and make room for another bunch. So why should they buy the book? The colors are nice. The reproductions are good, and there's a couple of things that you may be able to use, guys.
That's great. Some pointers, huh?
Yeah.
Love poetry. Who do you like?
I think if you read that book, it might help you with reproductions.
Who do you like? Who do you like better, Beavis or Butthead?
Who?
Yes. Okay. Who'd you vote for president? Can I ask you that?
Did you vote?
I bet you're Republican. I bet you're Republican all the way. You're a Reagan.
No, I'm
Reagan,
going Democrat.
I bet he's a Reagan
all right,
man.
I got $5 says he's a Democrat.
You're on.
All right, here you go. Mm-hmm. You say Republican, I say Democrat. Republican or Democrat? Oh, now he's going to say independent. He's going to shoot us. Oh,
bro. No, I won't do that.
Okay. Who'd you vote for?
I would say that I've been Democrat most of my life, almost all my life.
So. But who'd you vote for in this election?
I would say that I've been Democrat almost all my life.
Did you vote for Clinton in this election?
I would say that I've been Democrat all my life.
He's
all
not going to answer.
Life.
He doesn't want to tell you who he voted for.
All right, then. All right, then. I owe you $5.
You owe me a $5.
Yay! That's one for you. Well, Mr. Palance, thank you for coming by. I'm done with you now.
Good luck with the book. Will we be seeing you in any movies in the near future?
Yeah, there are a couple coming out very soon. We're going to do Treasure Island. We're starting in about 2 months.
Ooh,
it's something I've been looking forward to for a long, long time. Do you remember any of the versions of Treasure Island?
Sure. The book is all I remember. I don't remember a movie.
Robert Louis Stevenson. And who will you be? I know who I'd like you to be. Will you be Long John Silver?
No, of course.
All right.
Armadies.
Oh, you will be a great Long John
I'm
Silver.
I'm going to be drinking and smoking. And Wallace Beery, the version Wallace Beery a long time ago was fantastic. John Voight did it. Well, John should not have done it.
Mm-hmm.
But it has been done beautifully.
All right.
You ever hear of a movie called Zorro the Gay Blade?
Zorro the Gay Blade? I didn't know
Zorro
was gay.
It's a movie starring George Hamilton. It's one of my little nuggets that I love telling people about a movie that they haven't seen. I really like it. I think it's a great movie.
It's his favorite movie.
I'm not kidding you. I know I've been goofing you a lot today, but I swear to God. George Hamilton, who plays both Zorro and his gay twin brother.
Are you familiar with George Hamilton's body of work?
I know George.
You know George?
Yeah, I've known him for, God, 25 years.
I bet you party with George Hamilton, right?
No, I never did that. I don't party a hell of a lot.
Oh, come on.
No.
Sure you do, sir.
I go into the barn, lie in the hay, and wait.
All right, whatever that means.
All right.
Well, that's Jack Palance, and his new book is called The Forest of Love.
Thank you very much for coming by today. We appreciate it.
And I heartily endorse it, because it's full of stuff you wouldn't expect from a guy like the great Mr. Jack Palance.
A man of peace, a lover, not a fighter.
Thank you. Nice meeting you, sir.
How about that?
Take care, Jack.
He's not a big hard ass or anything.
No,
he's a nice
not
guy.
A tough guy.
Yeah.
Right? You know, I thought that you'd say something that might irritate him. He's a mellow guy.
He's a pussycat,
He's a peaceful guy.
He's a pussycat.
And there he goes with the publicists. You know, they're all, everybody there. Bye, Jack.
Bye, Jack. Boy.
Thanks a lot.
There we go. I want to kiss him.
mellow guy, just a happy guy, as peaceful a man as you'll ever want to meet. I wanted to get into a fight with him, man.
And I want to kiss him. Hard and full on the lips. Come here, Mr. Palance.
And he loved the way you were reading his poetry.
How else am I going to read his poetry? I read that like that was an audition.
Once you were looking him in the eye, that's what made the difference. Your eyes were saying, take me now.
We'll be right back.
You realize this is being broadcast, don't you?
Don and Mike, WJFK.
You know, if you play Wichita Lineman backwards, you get our national anthem.
What's so funny, Dick?
I am not Dick. I'm your new high commander. From this point forward, you will refer to me as such. Okay. Such.
It's the show with that hands-on hips, shake your head, mo money, mo deef, mo life attitude. The Don and Mike Show.
You know, he was a nice guy.
He was nicer than we ever could have expected. And we were caught by surprise.
He was mellow, man.
As mellow, and, you know, out in the hallway just a minute ago, I was talking to him for a while. Mellow, just peaceful. And, you know, weren't you expecting, like I was, that someone was going to come in and go, let me tell you, both of you,
yeah.
I'll clean your clocks. I'll take your ears and I'll smash them.
But you got to know that he has punched some guys in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
You got to know that there are people in Hollywood he hates. And at least we got out, although he wouldn't say it.
Sure.
You know he doesn't like Billy Crystal. You know?
That's fair.
He's not. We know because we were able to look him in the eye and we saw the big smile on his face like sure. the cat who had just swallowed the canary when we were discussing Billy Crystal. Well, that was interesting. That was more work than I thought it would be.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it was, and he is he's not what we expected, and he's not even what we have seen before on television programs.
No.
where he comes out and he's doing the one-armed push-ups and
his
all
macho
that.
Man stuff.
Sure.
He was a pretty laid-back guy.
I think what you heard was the real guy. I think this is what you heard today, the kind of mellow. But just, you know, at any moment I was waiting, what the hell do you mean by that?
And that book.
Wow.
That book's like out of left field. We were never able to get out of him exactly when he started writing these love poems.
I'll tell you, I've got love on the brain.
You know, he's got a strong grip, though.
Oh, he is still in great shape.
For an old guy. I mean, for a young guy. We were standing outside getting our picture taken with him, and he did that thing where he put his arm around each of us.
Right.
And he squeezed my shoulder, and listen, I don't want to sound like a baby or anything, but it still hurts. Wow. where he squeezed my arm, man.
He kind of sort of, didn't he say something like, "Hey, this is what you want.
Yeah.
Isn't it what you want?" And he got us both in these chokeholds.
I thought he was going to knock our heads together like the Three Stooges, like Mo used to do to Larry and Curly. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
What, Don and Mike?
Yes.
Hi.
Hello.
I was just calling to say that your relationship with Jack Palance sounded an awful lot like the relationship between Larry Sanders and David Duchovny.
Ah, yes, perhaps there was a little bit. And I have to exclude myself from this because Don was the one who was reading the love poetry, and I believe that was striking a chord with Jack Palance.
Well, you know, I read that, like, seriously. You know what I mean? Because he's an Oscar-winning actor, man.
Imagine later on this afternoon, maybe you get a call on the private line.
Hello, Don. I'd like you to come to the farm. Spend the night. We'll read poetry together.
Except he didn't touch me the way that the guy from The X-Files touched Larry Sanders last night.
That was an oogie moment there. But didn't you say, weren't you telling me they discovered this on a basketball court? In
yes.
real life, this storyline to make Larry and David Duchovny gay together?
In real life, Gary Shandling, I read this in an article, Gary Shandling says he and the guy from The X-Files are playing hoops. Now, that's a funny thought to begin with, Gary Shandling out there playing basketball. He says that as he's driving to the lane,
right.
as Gary is driving the lane,
mm-hmm.
that the guy from The X-Files says, hey, wouldn't it be funny if I was gay on your show
sure.
and I had a crush on you? Larry said he stopped and thought about it for a moment. And then finished off the layup. So you read whatever you want to into that.
And I finally figured out the real reason I didn't like that show last night.
Yeah.
Not enough Charles Nelson Reilly. If you've got an opportunity.
That was just such a brief cameo, man.
Yeah, if you got to give me more Charles Nelson Reilly.
And the reason that they had so much Elvis Costello is because they had to cut out a whole bunch of jokes about Maury Amsterdam.
Mm-hmm.
because he's dead now.
Did they have him on the show? Was Maury Amsterdam actually, you know, on the show?
No, but he was a topic. He was a topic of some discussion about how to write a sketch.
Sure.
When they around the time when they were going over the jokes for Jon Stewart, where Jon Stewart was saying, boy, it looks like this is the worst show that you could possibly give me, they had a whole big spiel about Maury Amsterdam.
Yeah, they had to edit out a whole bunch. I suppose there were no references to Maury being in any kind of ill health there. Yeah, I bet that didn't happen on that show.
Wouldn't it be great if they left it in?
Yeah, well, they had the guts, but I guess, you know.
Well, they got guts for television. They got guts.
Sure they do. On HBO, they can do things other people can't.
All right, well, thank you for that call. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Cello.
Hello.
I thought the Village Idiot was on one of these lines. That's why I went to
the Village Idiot, who was not there when we were supposed to call him originally?
Somebody told me he called, as predicted, right in the middle of our interview with Jack Palance.
Of course he did.
Let me try it.
That's what all good Village Idiots do. They call at the wrong time.
Oh, and we got plenty of entries already in the Enjoy Thanksgiving at JP's Nightclub contest.
No surprise there.
We'll read some of those in just a moment. And Buzz Burbank has news in a second. Your phone call is the cornerstone of any Don and Mike program. The phone scan coming up. And we also have a trip to Los Angeles to give away today.
All right, to go out and see Married with Children.
How are we going to do that? That's a good prize.
Maybe the best love poem. We could have someone call us with the best love poem. Don, when you read that poetry to me, it makes me quiver.
854-9.
Oh, God. That's why this guy's the Village Idiot.
Phone right now, but if you leave your name, number, and a brief message after the beep, we'll get back with you just as soon as we can.
Right.
Thank you for calling. Bye-bye.
Hey, hello, hey, idiot. Hey, hello.
Hello. This is Jack Palance. I'm wondering if there's a way I could talk to the Village Idiot. I've written a love poem for him. You're a moron. Thank you.
Bye.
Ta-ta.
Bye. I was hoping, you know, I'm going to call him one more time in the next hour, and if he's not there...
That's it.
He's out as the official Village Idiot for
good
the show.
For you.
The title goes back to its rightful owner, Dennis Murphy.
The original and still champion.
Still the best Village Idiot this show ever had, Dennis Murphy.
Hallelujah.
Now, this music means, of course, it's Thanksgiving a go-go. It's Thanksgiving at JP's Nightclub. We announced this last hour.
You know, when do they come to you? When you're lying in bed late at night? Do you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and all of a sudden this little lightning bolt comes down from heaven into your brain and says, let's do Thanksgiving at a strip joint?
Now, you know what, really? I'd love to take the credit. This, the guy wrote the letter in. The
really?
Guy from the nightclub. Now, he didn't think Thanksgiving.
Right.
The guy just wrote a letter in and said, you guys have never done a remote broadcast from a strip club before.
I tell you, this works for me.
So then I thought, you know, well, we spend enough time in strip clubs and we don't need the aggravation around the holidays of both of us just conveniently going to a strip club the day before Thanksgiving.
You and I would actually like to have a nice Thanksgiving with our families.
Oh, and you know, turn this off for a second. You know what we were talking about the other day?
Mm-hmm.
You know, with your wife and that time?
Yeah.
Yeah, my wife too.
It usually is. I've noticed that.
Bingo.
Oh, yes.
Bingo.
B-I-N-G-O. 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 You know what was his name?
Same thing.
No, I understand.
Are all women on the rag right now? Are all women on the same cycle as my wife and Mike's wife? Because all I know is he comes in and he tells me about an argument he's had with his wife. And then he mentions at the end that, you know, it's close to that time.
That's right.
And I went home last night and things were a little dicey. And
I only ask that question when things are totally at peace. Because if I ask that question when things are not peaceful, I am an extraordinary. I am in trouble of the first order. So I asked it when things were calm. And I will say my timing was flawless. Because it was the perfect time. If either side of that time, I would have been in big trouble.
You know how I found out?
Hasn't arrived yet, though.
The empty box in the bathroom. Isn't that always the way the man finds out about
sure,
it, huh?
Sure, you go poking around.
Either that or there's... Well, I don't even want to describe when you...
Oh.
When you lift the lid and... There's a little something left in there.
That's not pretty.
Little treat. Santa Claus has been to your toilet.
Oh, man.
Left his little red and white treat in there for you.
Oh, God.
Oh. Santa Claus treat. Mrs. Claus has left something for you there.
And it's kind of a rough moment, but it's also a clarifying moment, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, then suddenly you go, wait, now I understand everything that's happened this week.
Absolutely. It's like Grey Poupon, but of course.
You call downstairs, you go, hey, you're having your period. I understand. I love you.
All is forgiven.
All right, back to the faxes. Now, here are the faxes we've received thus far. for the chance to have your Thanksgiving at JP's Nightclub. Two floors of exotic dancers.
Oh.
Where we're going to be setting out all of the trimmings of a traditional Thanksgiving, all of it done inside an adults-only strip club.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the first facts we've received. Dear Don and Mike, I've got 9 relatives in town this Thanksgiving, 7 of which are over the age of 50. If I say my grandmother still chases my grandfather around when she finds a dirty movie, would that do? Everybody's over 21, and we're all ready to party.
It sounds like a real family Thanksgiving.
Well, now, listen, this guy could be the winner. We're not going to make this a long, drawn-out contest. If we find a family, and especially a family where you get a grandma and a grandpa that will join...
That's the biggie.
You're going to be the winner. So this guy who wrote this, Nick Draper... I don't know where you live, Nick. There's not a town on here, but you should fax back with your phone number and your grandparents' phone number and give us the information on the people who might be attending this shindig.
That's right, because a lot of this has to do with how quickly you get the information to us.
All right, here's another one. Dear Don and Mike, under normal circumstances, I would volunteer my family for your dinner. They're all jolly old cotton tops, and they would find it hilarious. Oh, there is an illness in my family, so now is not a good time to take everybody to the strip club. I, though, feel a call to duty and would like to volunteer my services wearing my... We've had this guy on the show before. I would like to appear wearing my giant 7-foot-tall comedy penis costume. You remember this guy that with the giant penis suit? He's been at some of our shows before.
Well, who knows?
No, thank you. Listen, no thank you. Let me see. Dear Don and Mike, my wife and I have had 2 Thanksgiving dinners on Thanksgiving Day for the past few years. We go to my parents' house and then hers.
Oh, I understand that. He's saying he's got the 2 families that they have to cover on Thanksgiving Day. A lot of people have to do that.
This year, we want to take them out for dinner and or have them over. This sounds perfect for all, including grandparents. Please pick us, and this is from Charlie and Nicole.
Excellent.
Well, now, again, either one of these faxes from Charlie and Nicole or the other one from the guy Nick.
Mm-hmm.
You could win. We'll give you... This is a contest that we could wind up today.
Yeah, and I'd love to get, if you get yourself a Polaroid and send a picture of the family, we'd love to see that.
What we need is a fax that has all of the pertinent information about the people who you are positive will be attending this gala on the day before Thanksgiving.
Grandparents are a bonus.
Now, the grandparents will pay you an extra $200 cash bonus.
That's right.
Because that's what'll really be, if you'll pardon the pun, the cherry on top of the sundae.
Yeah, we think that after you enjoy this Thanksgiving, it'll be Thanksgiving all year round.
You don't have Mrs. Doubtfire sitting there at the edge of the bar when the girls are when the naked girls are coming down bringing the turkey.
Oh, hello.
So here's our fax number. As I said, we can wind this up today.
Sure.
Don and Mike's Thanksgiving a go-go.
Mm-hmm.
And fax it to us. Fax us a letter with all the pertinent information. And if you're talking about getting grandparents involved, give us a phone number for the grandparents so we can verify everything.
Yeah, I'd like to get everything tied up in a nice little bundle.
And here's our toll-free fax. It's 1-800-636-6410. The whole shindig will be broadcast live on the show a week from this coming Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving.
Excellent.
And our thanks to JP's Nightclub, 2 floors of exotic dancers in Northwest Washington, D.C.
It's going to be great.
A quick break, ho, 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 and we'll be back with Buzz in the News after this.
Okay.
The station with less BS, WJFK.
Hank.
Hello.
Is that your Jensen Healy?
Yes, it is. And thank you for noticing it. We were just talking about it. Mm-hmm. It's a limited edition. 300 of these babies made.
Well, that baby is leaking something, and that something smells like gas.
Oh, no. See, you don't know. You're a novice. That's what you're smelling is pure driving power. But thank you.
Are you sure there's nothing wrong with your car?
Of course there's something wrong. Get a f***ing mop and meet me in the garage.
What is love? Baby, don't hurt me.
It's the way Mike O'Mara fills time between golf outings. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, hi, we're back. Baby, don't hurt. We're going to be giving away that trip to Los Angeles in the next hour. Postponed from yesterday, Major Bill Smith calls the Butterball Turkey Hotline.
Do not miss that.
Okay? And phone calls in the next hour, too, on a rotating random phone scan. And listen to this, a story from the newspaper that we found. A family, now this is in poor taste, but one on this show isn't in poor taste.
Mm-hmm.
A family that makes their money like Mr. Wolf from the movie Pulp Fiction.
Oh, really?
Ooh. A family whose job it is to clean up when there are people who are like have their brains blown out in cars and stuff.
Oh, my God.
You remember how Jules and Vincent had to clean out that car under the direction of Mr. Wolf in Pulp Fiction?
That's right. Lots of luck, gentlemen.
We found a family. Their job is to clean up after violent deaths.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Boy, that'll be an interesting interview.
So that's coming up in the next hour. So you'll stay tuned.
Happy day.
I will.
Now at 5:04 on the East Coast and 2:04 out west, here is Ruz Ternank. Hello, Juz.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
A Thanksgiving contest to win the entire meal and the show from the strip club.
Oh, it's hot. It's very hot.
From the adults only club. We will get to more of those faxes in just a second. And postponed from yesterday, Frank Sinatra says, please pull the plug.
Baby.
I can't go on. Hello, Don and Mike show. But now your telephone calls.
Francis Albert can't go on.
You're on the air. Hello, Don and Mike show. And I want to do the Major Bill Smith calls the Butterball Turkey Hotline today. That'll be a good goof.
We're waiting for you.
You're on the air.
Hello?
Hi.
Oh, listen. The only thing I did was I was calling to see if I heard your number correctly. I wasn't calling to get on the air, but I didn't want to be rude and hang up the phone when the guy said, hold on.
Huh?
What number are you looking for?
No, this is what happened. I was listening to you say the 800 number.
Right.
And myself and my two kids listened to your show, and there have been times when we've tried calling in.
Mm-hmm. So where are you calling from?
I'm in my car. I'm calling from Dale City.
All right.
And so what's happened is, I heard Don say the number, and I wasn't sure if I heard the number correctly. So what I did was I dialed the number just to make sure that I heard it correctly.
You work for the government?
No, I used to work for the government.
Hey, no surprise.
Coffee talk is what she sounds like.
That's Paul Baldwin.
Yes, hello.
I want you to know that we love your show.
Well, thank you. We love you. But the point of this call was?
No, there was no point other than to make sure that I heard you say the number correctly.
Ah, so for future reference, you wanted to have the number so you would know, is that right?
I knew you guys would understand, and I didn't want to be rude.
I don't. But thank you. I don't understand. Oops, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Hello, Don and Mike show.
How you doing?
Hi, great, thank you.
Hey.
Well?
You're on the air.
How are you?
All right.
All right. What can we do for you?
I just was making sure I had the number, too.
Ah, everybody wants to make sure they have the number.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Hi, you're on the air.
Good. I wanted to know if anything ever became of that guy that called at the end of the show yesterday, the idiot.
The village idiot.
Yeah.
Well, now, did you listen to all the way to the end of the show yesterday?
They cut me off.
What?
In my town, they cut us off.
Well, where do you live?
Baltimore.
They cut us off in Baltimore?
Yeah, for some football show. I turned it off.
Ouch.
Are you kidding? Ouch, that hurts, man. That's close to home.
They have a coach's show or something like that?
What time did they cut us off in Baltimore?
It's just about 7.
7?
Well, then you would have heard. I believe we came to closure before 7 o'clock on that issue.
What was it?
Well, you should have known if you were listening to the whole program.
They cut us off.
I don't necessarily believe you. I don't think they did cut you off. I think you chose to cut yourself off.
Okay, you're right.
Well, then.
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
Then we're not going to tell you.
Okay.
That's right. You have to pay attention to the entire program.
I'm sorry.
All right. Thank you. Goodbye now. For goodness sakes. I didn't think they cut us off in Baltimore. That's an Infinity station. Hello, Don and Mike show. But then again, you never know.
You never know.
You never know. Hello. Oh, goodness sakes. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Oh, come on now.
Listen, next person does, I'm going to start 69 you, so knock it off. Hello.
Yes, is this the Don and Mike show?
Right. Are you calling just to make sure you had the right number?
No. No, I'm not. I just wanted to say that I love the show.
Oh, well, isn't that nice? Thank you so much.
Well, God bless you for that pleasantry.
Well, is this Don?
And Mike, yes, both of us here now.
Okay. You sound different on the telephone.
Well,
I listen to you, you know, every evening going home, stuck in traffic, and it's really nice that you take these phone calls and interact with your listeners.
Yes, it's a public service here.
And I just don't know how you just stay so nice about it, because some of these people can just really drive you crazy.
I like this call.
Yeah. That's right.
It's hard to be nice every day.
How do you stay so nice?
God damn it. I don't know, Buzz. Jesus Christ. I swear to God, I don't know how I stay so nice.
Oh.
How I stay so pleasant.
I couldn't deal with it.
I say that to Don usually every day when I come into the office. Yeah. I say, hey, I don't know how you do it. How do you stay so nice?
Yeah.
Say, F me, man. I don't know. I got no idea.
Good evening, gentlemen.
I'm just a happy guy. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
May I please speak with Robert Stack?
Why do you need to speak